We continue our series through the book of Isaiah, 4 weeks preparing for Jesus from the book of Isaiah, and the privilege it is to know him who was so longed for. Let's pray before we look at it. Father, we thank you that you are the God that we just heard in the kids talk. Father, we can come before you at Christmas, and it's not just what we know, it's what we do with what we know. And sometimes we might come, and this is just old news, and get blasé about you. Father, forgive us. Father, sometimes we might come here and look for an intellectual stimulation. Father, forgive us. You've called us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Please open our eyes to yourself and help us to respond appropriately. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the Society of International Law in London states that during the last 4,000 years, in spite of good peace treaties, there's been only 268 years of peace. 4,000 years, 268 years of peace. In the last three centuries, there has been 286 wars on the continent of Europe alone. Three centuries, 286 wars on the continent of Europe alone. The headlines this last week: a tsunami of scam fleeces Aussies out of $800,000 in November alone. Vicious, blood-spitting alpaca attack had Western Australian women fearing for their lives before they were saved by police. I smiled at that one. I've been out to Roz and Michael Davis's house, and the alpacas look lovely. To have a blood-spitting alpaca chasing you wouldn't be on my list of nightmares, but it might be now. Another headline: the search for extremist answers. Families of extremists, terrorists searching for why. We are people who try and set up peace and security and tranquility. That's what we do. That's why we work. That's why we lock our cars and our houses. That's why we have passwords. We are full of stress and anxiety. What's your leading cause of stress at the moment? Some of the leading forms of stress I read, 7 leading causes of stress are these. Finances. Are you worried about finances? Yours? Family members? Australia? Are you worried about work or family? Personal concerns, personal health and safety, personal relationships, death? What is the remedy for these things? As we face Christmas, what do we do with all our emotions? I was watching the cricket, the lunch break yesterday, and I found it striking that Peter Siddle, one of Australia's test fast bowlers, he's been playing for a while, and he said he's part of two eras. One is the era of suck it up and just do the job, and the other one is the era of sports psychologists. How to work through what's stopping you from growing. Are you the person who sucks it up, or are you the person who engages with your troubles? Are you the person who sucks it up and just keeps going? Are you the person who engages with those around you? 2,700 years ago, 700 years before the birth of Jesus, God speaks to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 9. God speaks to Isaiah, but the message is really for the people of Israel. And the people of Israel were a people who had lost their identity. They'd lost who they were. Their past was majestic. Their present was atrocious. They'd been crushed by a foreign ruler. They, in the previous chapter, chapter 8, had seen that they had lost track, connection with the God who they worshipped. Law had gone out the window. Their present was atrocious, the future, what's coming? And so Isaiah begins by speaking of the God who brings light out of darkness. And he says these words: "There will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he, that is God, humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the nations by way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Now, my parents came last week to stay, and it was nice for us to give them a gift of Canberra Gastro so they could leave, driving 7 hours in the car with that. It's a pleasure, Mum and Dad. And those times when I had the gastro during the week as well, at times when you have it at night and you just long for the day to come where someone can help. Light, please dawn. Everyone get up. I'm struggling here. This passage is a passage about light coming into the darkness. In a land of deep darkness, light comes. If you have been in the midst of depression and you think darkness follows darkness, or if in the midst of anxiety and you have no idea what's happening in the future, light into darkness is one of the most profound things you'll ever experience. I have a favourite song, one of my favourite songs, and it's a song that's called The Burning Light of Dawn. And it's a song written by a person called Andrew Peterson. And these are his words. He says, "I've been waiting for the sun to come blazing up out of the night like a bullet from the gun, till every shadow is scattered, every dragon's on the run. Oh, I believe that the light is going to come. And this is the dark. This is the dark before the dawn. I've been waiting for some peace to come raining down out of the heavens on these war-torn fields. All creation is aching for the sons of God to be revealed. Oh, I believe that the victory is sealed. The serpent struck, but it was crushed beneath his heel." I love these words. I love them. 2,700 years ago, the people of Israel were a mess, and God speaks and says these words about himself. "You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder." Verse 4, "As in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning." Will be fuel for the fire. Do you like that? A country that sees nothing but darkness. A person that sees nothing but hopelessness. How? Climactically, God tells Isaiah verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." There is an incoming reason to celebrate. When Kang and I had our kids, they are 8, 6, and 3, it's one of the great privileges to prepare for their names, isn't it? Other people make up the names and we just choose which ones we think are suitable, our hopes for them. And so we have Jacob Max, Levi John, and Lucy Joy. And so when we were studying at Bible college, and when we were in the Chinese church, one of the things we learned was that the Greek word for James, the letter of James, Jesus' younger brother, is Icabus, which is Jacob. So in Chinese, in most languages around the world, the letter of James is not the letter of James, it's the letter of Jacob. Both coming from a similar background, but the letter of James. And because we're in the Chinese church, because I love the name Jacob, and because Jacob in the Old Testament was a train wreck who was redeemed, and because the person in the New Testament was a man who didn't believe in Jesus, in the Gospels, Jesus' younger brother, and then in the book of Acts, Acts 15, he stands up and says, we never have to pose, perform, or pretend. It's always Christ. In the letter of James, we see a man of such wisdom and humility, who loves the least and the lost with a heart of unbounded compassion. So Kay and I said, we want our boy to be like that. And the middle name Max, like his really gentle great-grandfather, Jacob Max. And they say, Levi, we had another boy, so what do we do with this? Levi in the Old Testament, people were set apart for the work of the Lord. That's your role. And then John, like your grandfather, who is a man who is so committed to his family. Yeah, Levi, John. And Lucy Joy, we had my parents had three sons, then seven grandsons, and then we had a princess. And so what do you do with that? So Lucy means light, light and joy. She brought to us, she brings to us, and we pray there'll be her name and there'll be her life, a person of deep strength and light and joy. It's such a privilege naming. These were our hopes, these are our hopes for them, but they are nothing compared to the hopes for this son in Isaiah 9, verse 6. Look at the titles for this son. The government will be on his shoulders. This one will bring rule. That's what government here means, rule and dominion. Can you imagine someone living in North Korea under oppression? Israel was under oppression. Can you imagine people living in darkness? Go, I have no idea how to move forward in this. And then you are told there's a new government, a new dominion and a new rule. What will this person like? He will be the wonderful counselor. Wonderful means miraculous, outstanding, astounding. Take your breath away. Counselor means someone who will come alongside you and advocate for you. Here is someone who will rule with dominion or authority, who will come and be astounding, miraculous, and will come alongside you. He will be mighty God. Mighty means a warrior, a special guard. Can you see the picture here that he's building? God, the Almighty God, this child will be truly human as a son born to us, but he'll be divine. He'll be the mighty God. He'll be everlasting Father without limit, continuous. And this emphasizes the eternal fatherly care of this person. And then finally, he will be called the Prince of Peace. A ruler characterized by peace, not factions and party politics and current ideas that they should follow. A king that brings peace, and peace here means shalom, and that is safety, well-being, intactness, wholeness. Can you see the picture here? And that's why the angels say, in Luke chapter 2, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy. That will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord. Larry King, the American CNN talk show host, was once asked who he'd most like to interview, and he could choose anyone in history. And he said, I'd like to interview Jesus Christ. And the person said, what questions would you like to ask him? And King replied, I would like to ask him if he was indeed virgin born. One question, were you virgin born? Are you completely and uniquely different to every other being in history? Because if you are, then everything changes. God has come near. He said that it finally finishes, the answer to that question would define history for me. I remember being in the car. I'd only become a Christian maybe a year or so ago, but I remember seeing all these lights and tinsel, hearing Christmas carols, and I remember thinking Christmas is so kitsch. It's so cliche, and it's been so butchered. I'm not going to celebrate this year. I'm just going to play cricket with my family, eat meat, open presents, and do nothing. And I was chatting with an older Christian friend, and he said, what? He said, you think Christmas is tinsel? You think Christmas is holidays? You think Christmas is carols? Get a grip. It's not what you're doing for Christmas. It's what do you think about Christ? What are you thinking about Christ? Are you thinking about him? The wonderful counselor has come. The mighty God has come. The everlasting Father has come. The Prince of Peace has come. The government that will be on his shoulders is an everlasting rule involving eternal peace and perfect justice. I get caught up in the doomsaying to the days now. I get caught up with all sorts of stuff that's happening in this world. I get caught up with that. Christmas was the coming of the King. In your life, everything has changed. Everything. In this world, everything is different to what you read. Everything. God has come near. The keynote in the preacher's mouths of Isaiah and Jesus' day is your God reigns. Jesus Christ the Lord, the Christ has come, God's anointed one. And whether you like it or not, whether you realize it or not, this world has changed. And so you either fall in line or you live in La La Land. You have two choices. God will come in justice. God has brought his Son, but his Son has come to declare amnesty, a pardon, for all who treat God like rubbish. And he said, you bow down to him like those wise men. You bow down and you worship, either now or the time when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that the wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father has come. The amnesty of God is signed in the blood of his Son, who didn't stay in the manger but grew up and lived a life of incomparable compassion and justice, and bore our sins on a tree and declared us right in his eyes if we trust in him. Peace is on the table. But do we want peace? Many live as if there is just pure anarchy in this world, as if there is futility and hopelessness. I read this in Christian newspapers and magazines, and I get caught up in it, as if God is not on the throne. There's no hope for my family, no hope for me. Lost causes. This is the dark before the dark. Or is it? The King has come. The promises from Isaiah chapter 9 stand, verse 7. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Isaiah didn't see this in his time. He didn't. Isaiah died in a country of misery. Israel did not see this for 700 years. And in the time of Jesus, people saw it face to face. That's why Jesus starts his ministry, Luke chapter 4, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, because here I am, wonderful Counselor." Astounding, one who comes alongside. "Here I am, mighty God, guard, warrior for you. Here I am, everlasting Father, of one with the Father, infinite, eternal, unchangeably yours. Here I am, Prince of Peace." We see snatches in this world of God's peace. Do you know what one of my highlights for this year in this church is? relationships which have been severed for 5 or 6 years. And then a hug. People turning and facing one another with kindness. I think that is the biggest miracle I have seen this year. And it made me cry. We see snatches of forgiveness. In Jesus' peace, young men and young women will no longer bleed out on the battlefield because weapons of war and mass destruction will be melted down. In peace, Jesus will ensure that the oppressed will receive justice. The poor will be cared for. The wicked will be punished. Animals will live at peace with each other and with humans, and therefore I can swim at the beach and not have to be scared of sharks all the time. I look over every wave for a fin. Ah, I'm soft. Jealousy will cease. In God's shalom, in his peace, Jesus will rule the world with justice. The blind will see. The lame will dance. The stuttering will speak clearly. The corrupt will be broken. The fool will be unmasked. Weeping and dying will cease. Children will never have to face death. We'll no longer have to lock our cars and houses or remember our stupid passwords. Never again. Ultimately, our hope is not that pills, politicians, protests, pouting, or progress will come. We hope, and everyone needs to hope, that the Prince of Peace is here and coming. This is a mini creed. What do you need to hear today? What do you most need to hear? Do you need to hear that you have one, a wonderful counselor who is striking and astounding and who speaks to us in his word and says, I have words to encourage you. I know you by name. Listen to me. I will guide you in the way of everlasting. Do you need to hear that there is a mighty God who will fight for you? Are you a victim of injustice and you have no idea how it come to right? God says, I will bring justice. Assured, cling to me. Do you need to know about an everlasting, unchanging Father? Because you have people around you who just don't seem to care. As hard as it is, there is one who loves you with everlasting love, who deals kindly with the knowledge of your weakness, who forgives your sins and says, come. Do you need to hear about the Prince of Peace? That the light has come. We're going to take communion in a moment, and communion is an opportunity for us with open hands to receive God's means of grace where he spiritually feeds us. Now, I have no idea some of the stuff that God does in and through communion. He doesn't say, but he says when we take communion, we feed on him in our hearts by faith, and he ministers to us. We are going to take communion. If you are a Christian here, please take it as a token of his love, of Jesus' presence, of his power, and of his goodness. Open hands. This year, this Christmas, you don't need 5 steps to dealing with stress. The answer to our stress and our struggles is not a program. They can help. The answer to our stress and our struggles is a person. Real, vital, engaged. So let's do that. Let's pray. The greatness of your government, Lord Jesus, and of your peace, there will be no end. We need your peace within and without. We cannot change our family, our friends, our circumstances. We work hard, but Jesus, you are the one who can bring light into darkness. You are the one who brings yourself. And as we come to take communion, come, Lord Jesus. May the grace of you, our Lord Jesus, flood our hearts and minds. Fill us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.